So Psalm 123, a song of ascents. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Amen. I was led to look at this psalm tonight because it teaches us to pray and to patiently wait for the Lord to answer when we're in distress. When we're in trouble, it teaches us to pray and to patiently wait for the Lord to answer. And in particular in verse 2, it gives us a very helpful picture to help us think about waiting on the Lord, that we are like servants looking to their master's hand. So the context is, it says this is a psalm of ascent, a psalm going up. And I don't know if anybody might remember, a few years ago, I preached through the Psalms of Ascent, and actually it was something I just personally really, really enjoyed. These are pilgrim psalms. These are the psalms collected together for God's people to sing when they journey up to Jerusalem and to the temple to worship. And in particular, there were three major festivals for God's people until the coming of the Lord. And these are the songs that they would sing, that they would gather in Jerusalem and sing together. And there's wonderful themes running through them about, many of them are structured around the great Aaronic blessing of God, the Lord bless you and keep you, will cause his face to shine on you. Those words recur all the way through. And it's all about seeking to go up to the temple to receive that blessing. And so at the end, there's this wonderful sense of peace as that blessing is pronounced on God's people. But of course, along the way, as God's people journey, there are dangers to overcome and there are enemies who attack. And so, of course, these aren't just about that literal journey to Jerusalem. They are about our whole life as Christians, as saints of God, and that we are all on this pilgrimage to the heavenly Jerusalem. And along the way, we're going to encounter spiritual enemies and attacks and difficulties, and in particular, persecution. But along the way, we can sing these songs to give us heart and to help us keep looking to the Lord. And as you see here in this psalm, there's really the beginnings of persecution. It speaks about God's people being treated with contempt, being slandered, accused of things, treated with scorn. So there are proud persecutors who seem to have it all their own way, are just heaping insults upon God's people, degrading God's people, making them feel like second-class citizens. Even though that is primarily just about words, words like that do really hurt, don't they? Even if it's not outright physical persecution, it says our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn. And if you've had to endure attacks like that, they can be very difficult to bear when you are demeaned. So there's these kinds of troubles along the way for God's people. And the psalm is teaching us what to do and how to respond when we've got troubles like this. And so the first thing, obviously, is it tells us to pray, to look to the Lord. It says that with the eyes of faith, we must look to God for his help. Unto you, I lift up my eyes. So our eyes look to the Lord our God. It's a wonderful metaphor for saying you're going to put your trust in God. Where do you look to for help? You look to the Lord. We're not looking to any earthly source of help. We're not going to put our trust in how much money we've got, or what politicians might do, or in our physical strength. We will look to the Lord. And that's, again, a recurring message in the Psalms of Ascent, that we must put our trust in the right places. For example, if you just look across the page to Psalm 121, one of the earlier songs of Ascent, and it says in verses 1 and 2, it teaches us exactly the same point. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And really, that's teaching us the same thing. To look for help as God's people in the right places. And perhaps that, because that's repeated so often in these Psalms, that in itself is a lesson. It's telling us we're all going to struggle with that and not do that sometimes. We've all got a tendency to put our trust in human strength, in ourselves, in flesh, in the things that we can see, literally. And it's a reminder, what we've got to do is look with the eyes of faith to what is invisible, to God who is in heaven, but who is so very, very real, and who is so very, very near. And that too is comforting, because maybe all we can see around us is trouble and everything going wrong and against us. But the eyes of faith don't look at that. They look up and they see that God is in heaven. So we look in prayer and we trust in our God's faithful love. If you notice between verses 2 and 3, three times the word mercy is repeated. And that's the very heart of that psalm. You know, many of the psalms have a kind of sandwich structure. A lot of the Hebrew Bible does. Where the main point, the key point, is put in the middle and repeated a couple of times to say to us, here's the main thing. And so again, we're being told to trust in God's mercy three times. And of course, that word mercy is the word chesed, God's faithful love, God's covenant love, God's steadfast love, his unbreakable love. God will faithfully love his people no matter what, to the end. It's an unbreakable love that he has for us. And so there is where we put our trust. So we pray, and it's telling you how to respond if you have an enemy who speaks poorly of you, who attacks you like this. Don't retaliate. Pray. Lift up your eyes to the Lord. It's telling us that this is an act of faith. This isn't necessarily something that's easy to do. It's not like it's just a reflex, that it's just something you're just inherently going to do. There's a choice, there's an effort to be made, there's an act of will to say, I will set my eyes up to God in heaven. And of course it should remind us, and one of the things we might pray about tonight is to pray for the persecuted church. We know by name Uma, we know by name Emmanuel, India. There are so many others, I'm sure many others, that we pray for them, as they perhaps daily have to endure this kind of contempt. Perhaps especially in India, you know, with the whole caste system, and everything is very, very political about what job you could take or whatever, and there's real oppression on Christians to demean them. So these are things that we should do. We should pray. But then the second thing that the psalm teaches us is to wait patiently until God answers. How difficult is that? If praying is hard, this is even harder. Well, think about this wonderful picture that we're given in verse 2. The Lord is the master. He is sovereign over all. He has all control. And while we're going through these difficulties, we his servants, he has only to lift his hand and everything will change. He has only to lift his hand and the troubles will stop. He has only to lift his hand and enemies will flee. And so we know that actually everything is not in the hands of our enemies. Everything's not in the hands of our difficulties. Everything is in his hands. And so it is to him that we look, and we are to wait until in his wisdom he knows this is the time. This is the time when I will answer, the best time. And this image of a servant just waiting and looking to a master's hand to give the command, I think it also implies we're meant to see these troubles that come, even opposition, as being actually his loving discipline. Because what is the image here? Well, perhaps it is of a master who would have, in the ancient world, had a rod, a wooden stick, and he would discipline servants. And they'd be trained that way. Children would be trained that way, sometimes with a quick whack if they needed to learn something. And the Bible speaks a lot to us about the Lord's loving discipline as a father. Here is the rod and the one who has appointed it. Spur not the rod. And actually, what the Lord is saying here, we need to have a radically different perspective about our troubles. There's nothing that's coincidence. There's nothing by accident. There's nothing out of control or beyond measure, more than we'll be able to take. And it's not happening because our enemies are just going to use it to destroy us. God, above and beyond all things, as the master, will be using our trials to discipline us for good. And so again, we are to look to the master and to trust that that sanctifying work, it will take the time that it takes in his wisdom. We can trust it's done in love, that he will work it through. And when the time is right, lift up his hand. When that sanctifying work is done. And so the picture is really telling us just to patiently wait, to patiently trust. And isn't that all our experience, that there's many things we might pray about? Troubles we're carrying, burdens, opposition, and how we would love the Lord to just take them away the first time we pray. But so often the Lord's looking to us to trust him, to endure, to keep waiting, to keep on praying. And he's drawing faith out of us, isn't he? He's increasing the strength of our faith. And he's actually teaching us how trustworthy he is, how much we can trust him and rely upon him. He's teaching us about his sovereignty, that he is in control. We are servants. There's another helpful, wonderful image. We are bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. You are not your own. You belong to Jesus. He has redeemed you. You are now a precious, holy people, set apart to belong to God. Your whole life is his. You are a servant. And there might be times when a master gives a servant a difficult assignment for a season. There might be times when the master's going to really put some heavy duties on servants. But a servant says, he's the master, I'm the servant. I was reading recently, one of my Welsh Calvinistic Methodist heroes was a man called Thomas Charles. A very, very godly man in the 1800s. And he amongst the Methodists, was given an assignment at one point of a preaching circuit there was some pretty severe persecution going on, some real opposition, not much of a warmth amongst the people there. And when it was his time to go up, there'd been a big snowstorm. He was going to have to face going through that. And a friend said to him, "Shouldn't you just stay home? Do you really want to have to go and do that or risk life and limb like that?" And Thomas Charles said, "He is the master, I am the servant." And again, there's something very helpful, I think, about facing our trials, remembering that, to teach us to trust the Lord. So the psalm is teaching us these two things, to pray and pray on, and to patiently wait on the Lord. And again, something we might choose to pray about tonight is perhaps there have been things that brothers and sisters you've been praying for many, many, a long time. Let us pray again. Perhaps it's for children who have wandered from the faith. Perhaps it's about an illness. Perhaps it's about a particular thorn in the flesh. Let us pray again. And perhaps tonight, as we look to the Lord, he will lift his hand and say, now's the time. Or perhaps he will not. But we look to him in a quiet confidence and patient endurance. And I wanted to finish then just by saying that that wonderful phrase, waiting on the Lord, reoccurs throughout the scriptures to encourage us. That a lot of the Christian life is about that, about waiting on the Lord, submitting to him, trusting his timing, his will, what he's ordained, and waiting on him. But there are so many promises to encourage those who wait. And there are far too many for me to, when I was, you know, looking at my concordance and all, and we could spend the rest of the evening reading them all. So let me just share with you three. Some well-known ones. We're promised in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as if with eagle's wings. They shall run and not be weary. Or this Psalm 37 verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And Micah 7:7. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And so if you are persevering in prayer and waiting on the Lord, keep going, brothers and sisters. Keep going. Let me pray for us. Oh, gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the sovereign Lord, the one who dwells in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that absolutely everything is in your hands and is being worked out for your glory. That even the schemes of the devil and wicked men will ultimately be seen to work for the good of your people. And we thank you, Lord, that there are no accidents. There's never anything that surprises you. You know all things. And so that everything that you've planned and ordained for us as your people, we thank you that we can know it comes from your love and your goodwill towards us. And we know this because you have sent your Son and he's revealed your faithful love to us. And that we can see in him that when he was on the cross and he endured the scorn and the mockery and contempt of many, it was actually as he endured to bring about the ultimate good of the salvation of the church. And so we do thank you, O Lord. We praise you that you are so mighty and magnificent, O Lord. And Heavenly Father, we pray, please, for the Holy Spirit's help. Please help us to pray, Lord. Please help us to patiently endure. Please help us to keep on praying. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be a servant who look to the hand of their master. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.